Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and thanks for joining us online also at kpcg.fm. And we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. And this program also is a podcast that you can listen to and find at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com. All of the programming here on KPCG can be listened to live on the radio, over the air, or can be listened to via podcasts. What makes you afraid? Do you have any fears in your life? From time to time, we all battle with fear, and it's not fun. Common fears include financial problems, wars, diseases, ultimately death. And some people develop a whole range of fears and phobias that really paralyze their ability to go out and live life. What does God's word say about fear? Can we conquer fear? How do we do it? Nobody likes to be afraid. And there is a way to conquer fear. God gives us an amazing picture of the way the world will be after Christ returns. And it's a world that doesn't have fear in it. Not the wrong type of fear, anyway. There is a fear of God that we need, and we'll look at that as well. But God doesn't want us to have negative, harmful fears. Notice Isaiah 35 and verse 4. We're going to look up a few passages today. This whole topic we're talking about, we're going to look at from God's perspective from the Bible. So if you have a Bible, it's great to get out and look at these passages. Isaiah 35 and verse 4 says, "Say to them that are of a fearful heart," and that's probably most people at some time or another in their lives. It says, "Be strong, fear not, don't be afraid. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." This is a prophecy of the millennium. Christ will return and eliminate fear. Fear is going to be destroyed. And today, many people struggle with fear. But God says, look, be strong, because things are going to change in a very, very significant way at Christ's return. And also, we can begin to make some changes in our lives today to eliminate fear. Christ will accomplish this. He will accomplish elimination of fear by getting rid of the things that cause fear. Fear comes from causes. It's a cause and effect situation. Let's notice a few of the changes that are coming upon this earth at Christ's return. There are some things that cause a great deal of fear, and they're going to be eliminated. A lot of what we are going to read today will be in the book of Isaiah. There'll be a few other passages as well, but Isaiah has a lot of prophecies about this wonderful world to come after Christ's return. Isaiah 2 and verse 4 says this, "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." If you think about that, people do learn war, don't they? They have to learn warfare. And we have quite a history of warfare in man's history. Quite a few wars. But people won't fear war anymore, because war will be destroyed when Christ returns. The weapons that are used for war are going to be beaten into plowshares. That's the famous statue that's been made. I think it's in front of one of the United Nations buildings. That's a famous statue. People know that imagery, and they got it right here out of Isaiah 2. This is a prophecy of the way the world will be. Man wants the world to be this way today, but of course we see more and more wars. But we're all ready, I think, for wars to be gone forever. People don't want wars. Even though we aren't currently in all-out world war, thankfully, there are many regional wars that are going on as I speak to you today. You can think of Syria as a prime example. I think we've all seen the news footage of the devastation in that region. Even how about the drug wars in the United States? Think about those. Those are vicious battles that rage in communities, bigger cities, some smaller communities as well. Gang violence is related to that. It seems about every weekend, Chicago is a war zone, people being shot and killed. Imagine being able to go anywhere at any time without fear. If you've ever planned a trip to one of the bigger cities, really anywhere in the world, probably you've thought about, okay, I can go to some places and there's some places I can't go to because they're too dangerous. They're war zones. But all that will be changed when Christ returns. Another thing that people have a great fear of and have fear from is that of dictatorships on this earth, oppressive rulers. Psalm 72 shows that Christ is going to be a very different ruler than that. It shows how God's government will operate. Now, we do have to have a proper respect and fear of Christ, of course, and God the Father. We have to fear to disobey them, but we don't have to be terrified of them because everything God the Father and Jesus Christ do is for our good. It's for our good. Notice Psalm 72, starting in verse 1, it says, "Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge your people with righteousness and your poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor." There won't be any oppression in the world tomorrow because Christ is going to stop it. No longer will anyone have to fear the rule of an oppressive dictator. And think of the people who have lived under those type of dictatorships. In modern times, I guess, you can think of Stalin over in Russia, and of course Hitler in Germany. Stalin had a longer rule, and he really, really caused damage to his own people. Or, of course, there are those that are living today under the Assad regime in Syria. Or how about those that live under the reign of the mullahs in Iran? They're under a pretty oppressive government. They're under certain forms of dictatorships. But finally, all people will be free of the terrorizing fear of a dictator. There won't be any dictators in the kingdom of God. No dictators, thankfully. God's government will be a strong government, no doubt, but it will be for the good of the people. And it rules with love. God's law, which is a law of love, that's the law of the land. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. And of course, individually, again, we're looking at the world tomorrow. We're looking at these prophecies of what the world will be like. But we can look at our individual lives today and say, okay, how about my life? You know, am I being ruled by a dictator, by Satan's government, Satan's way, or am I being ruled by Jesus Christ? You know, one of those governments brings a huge amount of fear and terror. And God's government, on the other hand, though, brings peace and joy, prosperity, freedom from fear, growth, development. We have a choice today about what our lives are going to be like. And of course, we're looking at these prophecies of what the whole world will be like when Christ returns. And now another fear that some people have is, it could be considered a little more, I guess, on the silly side, but it's serious. People are afraid of spiders, snakes, venomous, ferocious creatures. And some of them are pretty horrible. You know, some people maybe have a little too much fear of it, I suppose, where they jump at the smallest thing. But there are some vicious spiders here in Oklahoma where we live. There's a lot of creatures that can cause you problems. Spiders, snakes, scorpions, so forth. Or then when you consider larger animals in some nations, like lions and tigers and so forth, there's something to be afraid of there. You know, there's a lot of animals that we look at maybe in a zoo setting, and you know, if we weren't protected from them, they would cause a lot of damage. There's a lot of people that die from animal attacks in the world every year. According to the World Health Organization, about 36% of the world's rabies deaths, and there are between 20 and 55,000 deaths worldwide every year from rabies. 36% of those occur in India. And most of those when children come into contact with infected dogs. Dogs with rabies causing lots of deaths in India. Something we don't probably think about too much, but it is serious. I mean, if you were one of those children or you had a child and they got into that condition, I mean, that would be life-altering and could cost people their lives, and it does. And even locally, just paying attention to some of the local headlines or the regional headlines, people are being killed by pit bull attacks. That's happening. There was a story the other day. A lady was walking in her neighborhood and got attacked by two dogs and killed. So it's not something that maybe we think about in terms of it being a major issue, because most of us aren't coming into contact with deadly animals on a daily basis, but some people do. Some people do, and it's something that's going to be changed. It's going to be changed. Let's look at this in Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. It says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid." You know, we'd never see that today. The wolf would eat the lamb today. "And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." You might remember a year or two ago, I think it was, there was a child that fell into a, I forget what animals they were exactly, but it fell into something there at the zoo, one of the zoos, and people were terrified, of course, and because the idea of a child being with a wild animal right now, something like that, especially like what we're talking about here with these larger animals, is a horrifying thought, because a child would be killed in most cases. And after Christ returns in the world tomorrow, that won't be a concern. That won't be an issue. Verse 7 says, "And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den." You gotta be careful where you put your hands today. We mowed our lawn last night, and we had a lot of rain here locally, and so the grass had grown a bit, so we had a little extra, and we had to rake it up. And there's different spiders that like to get into that, brown recluse included, which can be quite dangerous if they bite you. And so when we're going around collecting the grass, always have to tell the kids, okay, now make sure you've got good gloves on. You don't want to get bit by a spider, because, you know, it's something where you have to think about it. But not in the world tomorrow. Children will put their hands in these dens and holes and areas, and it won't be an issue. It won't be a concern. Why? Because verse 9 says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the eternal, as the waters cover the sea. Everywhere you look, the world will be at peace and without fear." And this is some great imagery. I think this is very well known by most people as well. This image of the child and the wild animals together. It's not a fancy dream that somebody's having. This is the way it's going to be. Things are going to change very dramatically in this world. And the fear is going to be gone. Look at Hosea 2 and verse 18. It says, "And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely." So here we're talking, God's talking about getting rid of this animosity in these animals, wildness, where they are wild, and they do cause harm to humans if they have a chance to. And also just the fighting amongst people is going to stop. The weapons of war will be stopped. You know, people won't be afraid of war and the weapons that are used in that any longer. What about, just even think about the gun debate here in the United States today. There's people that do have a fear of being shot, especially in certain areas of the country. I mean, how much fear do parents have about potential school shootings? You see kids getting on the bus in the neighborhood and heading off to school, and, it has to cross parents' minds that, well, you know, hopefully things go fine today. Hopefully we don't have any school shootings today. You know, it makes everybody, I think, just sick when you see these terrible things happen in schools and other places. Of course, now my point isn't to weigh in on the gun debate. That's a whole separate issue. But only to point out that, as the Bible says here, war and violence will be stopped. There won't be that fear anymore. You know, parents won't be afraid to send their children to school anymore. And that's a very real fear. Even in the last 15, 20 years, it's become a greater fear than it was before. fear is going to be stopped. How wonderful. I mean, these are oppressive fears that really cause a lot of problems. But the fear will be gone because the violence will be gone. And so when the sin leaves, the fear leaves as well. One of the other major fears that people have today is a fear of sickness and disease. You watch your national news at night, and about every commercial is some sort of pill or some sort of therapy to help with some disease. Because there are so many diseases, people need freedom from that. And of course, they try to get it in pills and in different ways, but that doesn't really bring the healing, does it? Doesn't bring the ultimate change that we need. If it did, we wouldn't need the ads anymore. People would be fine, but they keep trying to help in some ways, and of course, making a buck at the same time. Notice Isaiah 33 and verse 24. There's going to be an end to the fear and the anxiety and the problems that come from disease. And the financial problems, too. Isaiah 33 and verse 24 says, "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity." This gets into the heart of what healing is. It's the forgiveness of sin. People pay almost any price, if they can afford it, to try to conquer disease, to try to live. You know, people don't want to die. They don't want to have disease, of course. The fear of sickness and death, it grips many, many families. It really does. If you've ever had to be at a hospital for a while, for yourself or for somebody in your family, and especially depending on the severity of the issue, you've seen quite a few people in there with some real serious difficulties. And every day is a challenge and a struggle. And there's lots of people like that. There's lots of people like that. We need a healing. We need to get rid of these illnesses and these diseases. What a relief that's going to be when that happens. And in this passage in Isaiah that we just looked at, we can begin to see why fear will be gone. Right? It's because God says he will forgive the iniquity of the people. People will begin to live differently. They'll begin to obey God's laws. And obedience to God's laws doesn't bring fear. It brings blessings. It brings joy. The breaking of God's laws is what causes fear. Sin causes fear. You know, thinking about the health issue, well, there's a lot of sin involved. That's why there's health problems today. How about the food production? Is that being done righteously? When you have food companies that are manufacturers putting out foodless foods to make a profit, but they're not in any way healthy for the people eating it, the constant connection between bad food, chemically modified food, and disease, the more they look into it, the more they see it. But still, that's what's in the stores. That's going to be changed. People are going to learn how to be healthy and happy. And it's going to get rid of fear. Education about true health and the miraculous healing of all sickness and disease will mean radiant health for everyone in the world tomorrow. Everyone's going to feel good and think the right way and be going the right direction. The causes of fear are going to be destroyed. Those sins are going to be eliminated. And then we're going to have so much abundance and joy and freedom from fear. Notice Genesis 3. Genesis 3 and verse 10. Here, of course, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they've eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil by this point here in Genesis 3. They did what they weren't supposed to do. They sinned against God. Verse 10 of Genesis 3 says, "And he said, I heard your voice in the garden." This is Adam talking because the Eternal was looking for them. "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." Why was he afraid? He had not been afraid of God previously. They had talked a fair bit. He wasn't afraid of him before. Why was he afraid of him now? And we're not talking about a healthy respect here. We're talking about terrified. Why was he afraid? Because they had sinned. That's why they were afraid. That's what caused their fear. All these fears that we have been discussing, just think about those. Don't they all originate? Don't they all come from sin? Man sins when he gets to warring and killing and fighting each other. That's sinful behavior. And when that's stopped, the fear of it goes away. Mankind sins when the leaders oppress those that they rule. But when dictatorships are replaced with God's loving government, well, the fear goes away, doesn't it? Now, animals weren't violent originally in the Garden of Eden. I've never read an account of the lion attacking Adam, right? That's almost, I guess, a little bit humorous to think of. He had to name all the animals. They didn't attack him. He wouldn't have been able to name them if they were chasing him around. But they didn't have that aggressiveness and that hostility at that time. And again, they will be tame when Christ returns. The only fear that's going to remain is the fear of God. And that's a good fear. Isaiah 59 and verse 19 shows us this. It says, "So shall they fear the name of the Eternal from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun." Of course, the sun rises in the east, so you get the picture. Everywhere, they're going to fear the name of the Eternal. And Jeremiah 32 adds some more insight to this. Jeremiah 32, verses 39 and 40. It says, "And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them." This fear is for good. It's the same sort of fear as being afraid to jump off of a 10-story building. You have a fear to do that, right? I have a fear to do that because I don't want to fall down and be killed or severely injured. I'm afraid of that because it would hurt me and it would harm me and it would harm you. You know, we need that type of fear towards God, a respect of I don't want to break God's law because it's going to harm me and it's going to harm others. That's the type of fear that we need. There's a good fear that protects us, and that's what God's talking about here. Verse 40 says, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me." Again, this fear is not terror and misery, but it's the mature, sound-minded realization that disobeying the laws of God would cause us problems. God's laws are in place to protect us, to cause us good, to bless us. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was given that we might learn to fear God always. You can see that in Deuteronomy 14 and verse 23. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 23. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures the millennium. People will fear to disobey God. That's a right kind of fear that unfortunately most people do not have in today's world. And so we're looking at this picture of the world tomorrow. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures that great holy day of God, that great festival of God. But we're also thinking about today and conquering fear in our lives today. And we don't live in the world tomorrow yet. And there's still a lot of evil and wickedness, but we can begin in our personal lives to strive to obey God, to live by every word. That's the name of this program. And as we do that, we'll have less wrong fear in our lives and we'll have more of the right kind of fear. So we don't have to wait to begin to be blessed and get rid of these fears. We can start doing that today by obeying God. Notice something in Hebrews 11. This is the faith chapter. You read through Hebrews 11, and it has all these just tremendous examples of people that have come before us years ago in the Bible, and the faith that they had. They had incredible faith, and so it's recorded there for our admonition, for our encouragement, for our instruction, for our correction, because sometimes we don't have the faith we need. So I just think it's really interesting. A couple of passages here in Hebrews 11. Notice verse 7. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear." He moved with fear, okay? But this is the fear of God. "And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith." Noah believed God. He had a right fear. He feared to disobey God. And God told him to prepare this ark. He feared to disobey God, so he did what he said. He prepared an ark. And so while the rest of the world And this isn't some fairy tale. This is history in the Bible. While the rest of the world was drowning and terrified, Noah wasn't, because he had obeyed God. And he and his family were on the ark. They were safe. Look down at verse 27. It says, this is talking about Moses now. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He had faith in God's promises, and that meant that he didn't fear the king there in Egypt, the wrath of the king. He wasn't afraid of that because he knew he was doing what God said he should do. So you see here this relationship between faith and fear. If we have the faith to obey God, to believe his promises, that's that right type of fear that says, okay, God said to do this, this is what I'm going to do. Or he said, don't do that, I'm not going to do that. And then, of course, what does that do? It eliminates the other type of fear. Moses wasn't afraid of the wrath of the king. Most everybody would be. Everybody would be. Moses wasn't. Why? Because he had faith in God. Because he feared God more than man. And it eliminated those human fears, those wrong fears that come from sin. You know, what an example for us. What an example. We need faith to obey God. And then as we do, as we grow in obeying God, we grow also, we have this proper fear developing in us, fear to disobey God. And what does that do? It eliminates that terror that most of mankind has that comes from sin. In the world tomorrow, fear will be gone because sin will be gone. And if we want to get rid of fear in our lives today, we do have to think about how we're living. Are we fearing God enough to obey him? One last scripture here, Romans 14 and verse 23, very famous passage. The end of it says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If we have faith in God's promises and we strive to live by every word of God, then we can begin to eliminate that wrong type of fear in our lives today. So we're thrilled, of course, to think about the Feast of Tabernacles and the world tomorrow and the reality of Christ coming to this earth, reestablishing God's government on the whole earth, and the joy that will come from that and the dissipation of fear. But we can do that also in our lives today by obeying God, fearing God, and then we can get rid of those terrorizing fears that can so often plague us in this human life. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining me. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.